Welcome to the Otherworlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 64. I am Table for Two, and I am joined today by Mellified and Alien Pickle. What's going on, guys?
Hey, this is Mellified. I am doing great. We're heading into a week of 100 degree plus temperatures here in Texas. So I'm looking forward to staying inside and playing some games because that's really warm. I don't like the heat like that.
Yeah, no, I can totally understand that.
How about you, Alien Pickle?
I'm surviving it. Whatever
Jim's,
it is.
Jim's got a house full of chicks.
Yeah, man, I've been picking up chicks.
Chickens, for those not in the know.
Yeah, so we got like 7 that hatched out of the 12. So that worked out. Not too many.
I think we have 7 in our from our first clutch that hatched, and then one of the other mamas hatched just recently. So we've got about 9 new ones on our flock of 13. So it's quite an increase.
Right on, right on. Well, let's jump on into the news. Escape from Tarkov is getting a new standalone FPS game called Tarkov Arena, or Escape from Tarkov Arena. It's going to include PvP and PvE gladiatorial combat, and is in beta testing starting this year. I feel like this is more of like Elite Arena. You know, I don't know I don't know. I don't feel like they needed a new spinoff to do this. I feel like they could have just baked this into the existing game and called it good, but just me. Hey, do you guys remember when Insomniac said Spider-Man will never appear on the PC? Do you guys remember that? I remember that.
I do. Yeah, they were very, very specific and determined.
Yeah, well, that's not a thing anymore. So both the Spider-Man remaster and Spider-Man Miles Morales are going to be coming to PC, Steam, and Epic, I believe, later this year. So,
well, it's like Doctor Strange said, right? Like in all the multiverses, this is the one where he actually will appear on PC.
That's funny. Mm. There you go. It's
Doctor Who or Doctor Zhivago or whatever his name was.
Yes, for sure. Steam Deck has a dock that they're going to be released, but the release date has been delayed apparently indefinitely. But according to Valve, the reason for this is the facilities and factories in which they're using for this are being hit harder with supply chain issues and manufacturing delays that are different from the facilities and such that they use for the actual deck itself, which is still on track with their release schedule. So the official Steam Deck dock is being delayed. But of course, you can always get like your own. I think there's other docks that will work with the Steam Deck that you can use. So
any USB-C dock, you know, generally will work. So that's the good news.
Good news. What else we got here?
Let's see. Well, Warhammer 40K Chaos Gate Daemon Hunters came out recently, and one of the common complaints is that your super elite, amazing ultramarine gray knights are kind of wimpy. They can get injured a little too easily. So one of the balancing patches for the game gave them a little bit more grit, a little more toughness, so they could stick it out and you won't get injured quite so much. So I'm excited to give that a whirl. They have been doing a number of balance patches. We were talking a little bit in our last episode about Alien Pickle, you were taking a break until they had finished fiddling with the game.
Yeah.
So, but it's good that they're improving it. Never a bad thing. New Man's Sky. No Man's Sky. Thank you. No Man's Sky is getting a new expedition that adds a time loop, and it's also getting space whales. So, this is the Leviathan expedition. Mm-hmm. If you break the time loop, you get your very own space whale to join you.
Comes a member of your fleet.
Can you milk it, Greg?
Oh my Whoa. God. Yes.
So that is part of the new update, which I'm so impressed with Hello Games for continuing to support No Man's Sky with as much content as they have. Really, really awesome.
Fallout 76 is getting a season 9 and is off and offers a danger and treasure in a new island that they're introducing. So their Dread Island is going to be the new new add-on for season 9. I guess they're calling it Heart of Steel Dread Island Tale. So that'll be cool. I'm glad to see that they are continuing to add new content. I'm currently going through the Brotherhood of Steel quest line right now myself, so
yeah. So given that West Virginia is landlocked, I don't know where they're going to find this island.
And well, we'll see.
In a lake?
Yeah, that might be it. So
could be that.
Let's see. EA officially announced the sequel to Jedi Fallen Order called Jedi Survivor, which will be coming out, I believe, in 2023.
Yeah, next year.
Yeah, next year. So we don't know when exactly, but they do have a trailer out for it. Looks, you know, pre-rendered trailer. Looks pretty good. It's still so weird to me personally to see the actor who plays Cal in the game, your main character, because I watched him in a TV show called Shameless, and he was one of the main characters in that, and so it's just bizarre to see him as a Jedi now. But
it would be really cool if he showed up in the Obi-Wan series, just you mm-hmm. know, in a background.
That would be cool. Superman Bomber R online.
Super Bomberman R. He said what? Superman.
Superman Bomber R.
Well, you
sounds
know,
sounds like an anime title for sure.
Super Bomberman R online. I don't know why I'm having so much trouble talking today.
That was me last time we did the news.
Oh, jeez. Is shutting down after only 18 months. You're not getting a whole lot of your money there. It was a $30 or $40 release, even if you had Super Bomberman R, the not online version, previously. So that's a little disappointing to see. All right, we got a ton of Warhammer 40K news here. Because they had their annual Skulls event recently. So we're getting a free-to-play card game set in the Warhammer 40K universe. This is different than the Horus Heresy collectible card game, which has been out for a while. It's actually the same developer, though. But Horus Heresy era is sometimes known as Warhammer 30K because it takes place at an earlier point in the Warhammer 40K timeline. So that'll be something to look forward to. And we are also getting a what have come to be known as boomer shooters, kind of a throwback 90s style FPS game called Bolt Gun, where you basically are just mowing down waves of orcs and other Warhammer baddies. So that one could be a lot of fun.
I looked at that and it looks like, you know how they did like all the build engine kind of games, mm-hmm. like Ion Maiden and stuff. It looks like one of those. And I'm down for that.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like a good, like, kind of fun beer and pretzels sort of shooter. So good on them for doing that. And then we are also getting a Warhammer Space 40K Space Marine 2 game. So this is the sequel to the Warhammer 40K Space Marine that came out about 10 years ago. It recently got an anniversary update with some new content, and now we're getting the sequel. It looks like, at least from the trailer, that they're really making these guys, you know, stand out. They're big. They're meant to be 12 feet tall in the lore, so they're trying to make them seem that way. So I'm pretty excited to see that. There's no release date for that one, though, so we don't know when that's going to come out. It could be a while. And last but not least on our Warhammer 40K news, the team that did the three Pathfinder RPG games, they are working on a Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader game. So the Rogue Traders in Warhammer are, you know, captains, void ship captains who kind of flit around the galaxy looking for technology, trading, carrying cargo, all that kind of fun stuff. So it should be interesting to see how this one takes place. I mean, certainly it's a relatively unexplored niche of the Warhammer universe, so I'm interested to see what they do with it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're coming back around to that because Rogue Trader was the original Warhammer 40K book, and then they just never really talked about those guys. But I feel like if you were going to have like a Star Wars set in the 40K universe, it would have to be the Rogue Trader stuff, because not everybody is a Space Marine or whatever.
Yep.
And it's not like you have any say so in what you go and do if you do. So yeah, it would be more like the Undercity Hive stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
Well, the next Dragon Age game is officially called Dreadwolf. I have yet to actually play through a full-on Dragon Age game myself, but I know.
It's on my list. I beat the original and two, and I never finished three. I actually just picked it up on sale on Steam, so I could play it on the Steam Deck when it gets added to the compatibility list. But I may start playing it early on PC to get a head start. So
Dragon Age 4, really, Dreadwolf.
Yep. Yeah. I've mentioned my love for Monster Train before. The same developer has a new tactical multiplayer RPG coming out. So this looks pretty darn cool. I'm excited for it because definitely, you know, came out strong with Monster Train. I'm interested to see what they do with it.
Yeah, it's called Inkbound.
Yes, thank you.
It's a turn-based, really, like, roguelike with a focus on co-op. Looks pretty good. Yeah, I'll definitely be interested in giving that a try. That'd be cool. Speaking of cool, Cyberpunk Cat Adventure game Stray gets a gameplay trailer and a July release date. What's interesting about this also came out during Sony's State of Play, and they announced that it's also coming to the PC. There's already a Steam page for it. Between this and Spider-Man, Sony seems to be slowly decreasing their exclusives. Slowly. At least on modern releases. Modern current releases. They seem to be kind of slowing down on their direct exclusives. Street Fighter VI has real-time commentary and an open-world mode. That's interesting. I kind of am curious about that. That's coming in 2023. Any thoughts on this?
They've had a lot of roster leaks and some other news kind of coming out about this, so it's clear that people are really excited for it. I'm interested to see what they do with it.
Nice. Something that we did not add to this list, one of the other things that they announced at the State of Play was there's a Final Fantasy 16 game that has been announced. Did you put that under Sony by any slim chance?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, so that was a game release, or game announcement, I guess I should say, that is being announced for, I believe, next year, I think, is when that one was. I don't know the official release date on that.
Fair enough. Final Fantasy 14, which is the MMO, very popular MMO that's out now, now works on the Steam Deck. So if you're a Steam Deck owner, you can take it on the go. And this next one, I debated putting it under Funny and Strange, but there is a Skyrim mod that gives you incredibly detailed, ultra-high resolution, 4K resolution cages in the game, so you can have the most realistic cage experience in your Skyrim through.
I thought you were gonna say it was like 4K waifus, but it's cages, which could be related.
they look amazing. I mean, they look photorealistic. It's pretty impressive from the screenshots, but just one of the more kind of off the wall Skyrim mods. But
Microsoft Flight Sim's Top Gun tie-in teaches you how to fly like a skillful maniac. Jim, you said that you played this for a little bit. Really, all this is just a fast jet that you can fly around, but it's almost so fast that the textures can't load in. Is that what you were saying?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Got to go fast. A little too needy for speed, I guess. I don't know. So
What is good speed is Valve has certified now 3,000 games as verified or playable on the Steam Deck. So pretty big milestone in terms of compatibility, and the list just keeps growing. I also...
Conan, what is good on the Steam Deck?
One of the things that surprised me, though, is not only are they adding, they're actually going and either the developers or Valve are fixing problems with existing games. So I've been seeing a lot of games get updated from the playable status, which is yellow, you know, little yellow icon, to verified as updates and things and tweaks get made. So pretty exciting that we're seeing so much support for it, whether from Valve or from the developers.
Just so awesome.
Yeah. Did you know that there's a bot problem in TF2?
Absolutely. I knew there was a bot problem in TF2, so much so that I stopped playing it.
Well, and I think everybody knew there was a bot problem in TF2, except Valve, didn't do anything for a very long time, but they recently said they've seen how large the problem is, and they're actually planning to do something. So a little bit of, you know, a glimmer of hope for TF2 players here, hopefully. Elden Ring's co-op overhaul mod is now playable in open beta. If you're excited about that, check that out. It is called... I thought there was a name for it. I guess maybe it's just co-op mod. Okay, I thought there was an actual name. My mistake. Anyway.
If you look it up, the modern name is Luke Yui's project. Luke, Y-U-I. Available for download on Nexus, so you should be able to go find that there.
Yeah. Very cool. The sequel to My Time at Portia is My Time at Sandrock, which just came out, and it is coming out with some strong reviews. People are pretty excited about it. So
I was hoping it would be like My Time at Ferrari. They could have stuck with the car theme, but no.
Yeah, it's Portia, I guess, if I pronounce it more accurately. Portia.
So in Blizzard news, there's a few things I kind of want to hit on here with Blizzard real quick. Apparently there's a new legal issue that they're dealing with right now, which isn't good. They just can't seem to get away from their problems. In terms of actual gaming news, after a year of silence, the Blizzard president says that Warcraft 3 Reforged info is coming soon. Whatever that means, I don't know. But I guess they're going to be talking more about it. But also in Blizzard news,
how about they just fix it? We know what the problems are with Reforged. Why don't they just fix it?
Well, last time I looked at Reforged, it had like the arcade content in it, right? So they must have fixed the mod stuff.
Yeah, the mod stuff has been fixed, and for what it's worth, like, the game is playable, and you can also even play in like the old school. They actually have an old school like you could with StarCraft, where you can actually play with the old graphics, but I don't know. Like, I guess people are complaining because they made such a big deal about Reforged, and then maybe there's not enough patches coming out for it or whatever it is. But I will say they did just a release on PC and on mobile. You can now play the open beta of the Diablo Immortal. So if you have a PC or a mobile device, you can play that, and it is cross save, cross play. So, I mean, I recommend starting it on PC first, and then you can, play the same character on your mobile, platform. It's kind of like Diablo 3, but on mobile, and the controls are definitely simplified and watered down. It's a free Diablo dungeon crawler, I guess. So there you go.
All right. Iron Harvest was the RTS that reimagined World War One with dieselpunk mechs, essentially. And it is getting a free world map campaign update where you can play to conquer kind of an overmap through multiple missions. So pretty nice update for a four-year-old game at this point. And the very popular mobile game Monument Valley, it's a exploration puzzle game, and it is finally getting a PC port. It was out on mobile, gosh, 5 years ago now, so been a little while coming, but you'll be able to enjoy it on PC finally.
Very nice.
The Little Big Adventure games, there's two of them, are classic games, also known as Twin Sins Odyssey in North America. These are old school adventure games from the 90s, and they are getting they're being re-released with updates on Steam, and then you can get the original games as free DLC. So if you want to play Twin Sins Little Big Adventure Classic and Classic 2, check them out on Steam.
Oh, they also have it all bundled together. Nice. Oh, with Time Commando as well. Look at that. Man, I remember Time Commando. Holy crap.
I know I've played Twin Sins Little Big Adventure in ScumVM, but that was, I think, where I experienced them for the first time. I don't remember them from the 90s.
Man, Time Commando takes me back. Holy moly, look at this thing. Sorry, tangent there, but yeah.
No. Another bit of nostalgia, Super Hexagon, which is a 10-year-old puzzle game on the Steam platform. Same developer who did Dicey Dungeons, if you're familiar with Dicey Dungeons. The game is getting a complete rewrite to modern systems. It'll be doing 4K, 60 FPS. They're making sure that it runs with all kinds of different resolutions, better sound support, kind of a little bit of everything. So nice update there if you're a fan of the old Super Hexagon. Let's see. We're going to move on to our retro news. We have a bunch of Mr. Updates. I'll try and run through these very, very quickly. The Saturn Core, we got our first look at that. And it runs just a couple of games. It's still got a little ways to go, but that support is nice to see that we're actually making progress. The SNES core got MSU1 audio support, which is kind of a big deal if you're doing music stuff on the NES. There's been a number of arcade updates. We got a free Game & Watch core, so you can play a lot of the old school Nintendo Game & Watch games. The Neo Geo Pocket core is coming along with some major improvements, although it has not been publicly released yet. It is still in beta. And the Cave arcade games, we got several of those released. The list just keeps going. I mean, it is amazing what they're doing with the Mister. We also got an official Super Game Boy core. So this was a mode that was part of the Super Nintendo, and so you can actually play games as if you were playing them with the Super Game Boy. We got a Commodore 128 core, a PC XT core for your really old school gaming, and there's a way to now play CD32 games on the Mister, although there's not an actual separate core for that. So just a ton of fun stuff there. Lots of game preservation going on with all of that, which is great to see. I love the Mister because it makes those old systems live on. So very cool stuff.
Yeah, that is really cool. I'm gonna work my way a little differently here. There's been a playable build of the canceled N64 game SimCopter 64 that was discovered. I think it's funny how some of these things kind of come to light. I was looking at, speaking of like retro, I was looking at some leaks of the canceled Star Wars 1313 game that apparently there was a build that was leaked out at some point recently for that. There's been a few things like that recently that I've been seeing where there's been some like canceled games where their builds have been kind of released out into the wild. So pretty interesting stuff there. Also, we might have mentioned this before last time in the news, but there's also NES emulation now on the N64. Which is pretty slick how they've been able to manage to figure out how to get that to work. So that's pretty cool. And then there was also a Marble Madness 2 found and dumped. So if you are a Marble Madness fan, I'm sure you can go there and find a copy.
That's extremely rare. There were only a handful of prototypes made and Atari canceled the game. So pretty cool that they actually found one that worked.
And what's this last one here?
The Saturn had an online service through modem back, if you remember modems, they plugged into your phone line back when you had a phone in your house rather than in your pocket. And basically somebody's reverse engineered it to the point where you can play it online. So you can play all of the multiplayer Saturn titles with your friends online. So this includes Daytona USA, Puyo Puyo Sun, Puzzle Bobble, Bomberman, Virtual Fighter, Virtual On, and Duke Nukem 3D. So there's quite a list of great classic Saturn titles to give a try if you want to play them online. So I always love to see people figuring out how to bring that stuff back.
It's like the X-Link community. Those folks have been doing some pretty crazy stuff too.
Mm-hmm. There is a decent amount of hardware, so if it's something you're interested in, you definitely need to sort of understand what you need to make it work, though. There's a couple bits and bobs that are required.
All right, on to the VR news. What do we got going on in here?
Meta says they're making good progress on removing the Quest 2's mandatory Facebook login. I don't understand why it's taking this long, but sure.
Why are they even doing it? They should just be like, well, tough shit. It's a Facebook thing.
Because people won't buy the Quest because of it. Nobody wants to be, you know, people don't like being forced to use Facebook, I guess.
Yeah, everybody that's ditching has like two Facebook accounts already, I'm sure.
This is not necessarily new news, but I guess they've been making new news about it. But apparently it's easy to mod the Quest 2 with prescription lenses. An easy and cheap solution to an infuriating problem for some. But I know, like, both you, Mellified, and Pickle, you guys both have, like, custom lenses in yours, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cost me, like, $75. It was cheap. And they give you, like, a magnetic mount that clicks in, and then the lens sticks to that with a magnet, so you can take the lens out and clean it really easy.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah, I used the I had that mount originally. My glasses were so thick though that it was a problem. Like it was actually contacting the surface of the standard lens, so I had to get a different mount that's not magnetic. But it works just as well. It's just a little taller, so it leaves more separation between the two. My only complaint is my prescription certainly is part of the problem. Because you're further away, your eyeballs are further away from the lens, the real lens for the headset, you actually lose a little bit of your field of view. So that created problems for me in a couple of games where the HUD elements were actually off screen for me. I couldn't see them while I was playing.
Yeah, because your FOV was a little weird.
Yep.
Now, is there a way in the Oculus to maybe adjust your FOV? Like to
no.
Okay.
That sucks. Nope. Not at least with those games. One of them was the 40K Battle Sisters game, I remember, that had that issue with. So maybe that'll be something they add later. Who knows?
Well, with the Sony State of Play, they also talked a lot about VR stuff. So PlayStation VR 2 games that they announced. They talked about a new Horizon VR game that you can play called Horizon Call of the Mountain. Resident Evil 8. There's Resident Evil 4 remake, obviously No Man's Sky we mentioned, The Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners, Chapter 2, Firmament, which is a Cyan Worlds game that is still in development. I backed that a couple of years ago because I'm a big fan of Cyan Worlds because of all the Myst games and stuff that they've made. So they are doing a VR for that, but I guess they're also planning on doing a PSVR for that. There's also an unannounced, game, I guess, dealing with Jurassic Park or Jurassic World. Among Us VR, of course, as we know, and like many, many more. So I don't know if any of these really stood out to me as huge deals, but there you go.
I think the bigger news is for game developers who are looking to make a VR game, this gives them a bigger market, which is really important. The VR market is not that big overall, and the more people that they can sell their game to, the better games we're going to get. Demio is the tabletop kind of Dungeons and Dragons style dungeon crawl that you can play with friends. They now have a two-player doubles mode where you, rather than controlling one character each with four players, you can do two players, but you each control two of the characters. So kind of nice that they're giving you some flexibility there to play with maybe a smaller, with just one buddy instead of three.
Hmm.
The quest can now map your room. You can add your walls and furniture into virtual reality, so it will show you where they are in VR game if you allow that or if the game supports it. And Meta launched a mixed reality demo app on App Lab that shows this feature off. So if you are interested, you can check that out.
That's awesome.
This one I thought you'd find fascinating, Table for Two. It looks like Meta is experimenting with running games in the cloud and streaming them to your Quest, much like we do in our homes over Wi-Fi. They're actually looking at doing it over the...
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely going to require a pretty good internet connection because, you know, VR is already susceptible to motion problems if you're not mm-hmm. careful. I feel like if you're not getting the data at a decent frame rate or enough of the data to fill in, you could definitely mess with your eyes and your sense of balance or scale or motion.
Make you sick if you're really off. I suspect that what they're going to do is do some of the rendering in the cloud and some of it on the headset to try to, you know, sort of mitigate that. But it'll be interesting to see where that goes. I just was sort of imagining it as a GeForce cloud service, you know, that you could pay for potentially to play some higher quality games on your Quest.
Hmm.
Last but not least, I think for our VR section, I should say, I know we're all big fans of mech games here, so I thought this one would be of interest. There is a new game called World of Mechs out only for Quest 2. It is not on PC. And it's a competitive online squad-based VR game where you run around in mechs and blow each other up.
Sounds like some Android bullshit.
It's not too terrible. I mean, it does definitely look more mobile.
They have like World of Warbots, which is the Android phone version, right?
What was that fast-paced mech game that we beta tested not too long ago, Jim? Do you remember that? It was
Galahad something.
Galahad, yeah. That was an interesting one too. Galahad actually looks better than this, so I'll put that out there.
Yeah. So speaking of VR mech things though, Vox Machina actually mm-hmm. got a single player campaign.
Oh, wow. That's nice. This game is strictly not strictly multiplayer either, although it has four online modes. It also has a single player campaign. So I thought it looked interesting. I think it's $20, so that's not too terrible if you want to check it out. There are 32 mechs across 8 different classes to choose from. So they did seem to put a decent amount of work into giving you something to do in this World of Mechs game.
Well, moving on to some Nintendo news. Nintendo's fifth largest shareholder is now Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund. They have purchased a 5% stake in Nintendo, which is interesting because earlier this year, the PIF, as it is abbreviated, purchased stakes worth more than 5% in major gaming companies such as Capcom and Nexon. And now they've taken their portfolio and done a 5% stake in Nintendo. That's kind of interesting. I wonder what interests they've got going on there. So it could be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah. Well, and it may just be that games are profitable and that's a good place to invest. But it always is a little disconcerting to see.
Tencent.
Yeah, exactly. The free-to-play Vampire the Masquerade game Blood Hunt has it's kind of an arena-style combat game, and their rank mode has been turned off temporarily because the PS5 players keep getting destroyed in the game against the PC players. Why this is a surprise, I'm not quite sure. They're saying they're going to tweak the gamepad support, probably add a ton of auto aim or something to make the PS5 players more competitive. But I just, like, this is an age-old problem. I don't know why they caught them off guard or seemingly caught them off guard.
Interesting.
Just a fun little bit. Amazon Prime Gaming is the free service for Amazon Prime members. They give you games every month, as well as in-game DLC that you can get. They've also added a new thing where you can cloud stream a handful of games for the month via their Luna service. So this month, they seem to have a pretty strong lineup in my mind. Far Cry 4, Lumines, and Bloodraven 2 Terminal Cut, which is a re-release of Bloodraven 2. So there's some pretty decent stuff there, especially to be able to play for free. Might be worth checking out.
Nice.
So, Table for Two, you don't have your Steam Deck yet.
Nope.
But when you get it, you'll be comforted to know that iFixit has your back. All of the Steam Deck parts and repair guides are now available through iFixit.
Sweet.
People were trying to figure out if they could actually just buy all the parts and build their own Steam Decks. I saw not quite possible because they don't have the motherboards, I guess, for sale. But yeah, pretty funny.
3D. And well, I mean, they've got the CAD file, so I'm sure you could just 3D print a case.
And potentially.
If, you know, build a deck.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
Hey, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I built a deck. Oh, and you know, for grilling? No, a Steam Deck.
I did see one. I didn't put it in the news, but I did see somebody modded their Steam Deck with a second Steam Deck screen to make it look like a giant DS. So it flipped down and everything. It was pretty crazy.
That's a little bit much.
Well, yes, probably so. Let's see, business and legal. We got a couple stories here that were interesting. I know, Table, you wanted to talk about this first one.
Yeah, you want to take the second one first?
No, go ahead, please.
All right. Well, so it has been reported that apparently EA is looking to be bought. I heard about this news earlier this week. It kind of seemed to go a little bit under the radar, but you know, EA has definitely acquired a lot of studios under their banner over the years. One of the most notable ones, of course, being like Westwood and BioWare,
Maxis, Psygnosis, Lionhead.
There's definitely been
That was Microsoft.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot under their banner, but apparently they are possibly being acquired by either Amazon, Apple, or Disney. And I feel like in either of those directions, Amazon seems to maybe be the more favorable one. I feel like Disney might be trying to get it because of the Star Wars stuff, but I don't feel like there's really any other reason why Disney would want EA. But then again, what do I know? So I just find this interesting that if this is true that they're looking to be bought, I definitely don't want Apple to get involved with this. That I think that would be a terrible, terrible, terrible thing to happen.
Apple's never been good at gaming. Like, they never really seem to understand it. So I don't know why they would buy a major, you know, game publisher, developer like that.
And Amazon makes a little bit more sense too because of the Lord of the Rings stuff. With EA and Amazon, I feel like there's a better potential buy there. So that's where my mind goes when I read this news. Either way, I don't like it. So there you go.
All right. So the RPG series Ni No Kuni has been very, very popular. There's the original and a sequel that have been out for a few years. And the developer, Level 5, is launching the game in a new game in the Ni No Kuni series in the West that features both crypto and blockchain elements and will be adding NFTs. So this was just kind of a disappointment to hear them junk up what could be a perfectly good game with all of this fad crap, NFTs and crypto. Yuck.
Yep.
They flew a Kerbal from Kerbal Space Program, a little doll, up to the space station recently. Yeah, in real life. Yeah, so the Kerbals have actually been in space now. We know it's true.
Very nice.
So, Elden Ring has a sexy wolfman named Blade, Blaidd, and he's been getting quite the popular with certain elements of the fan base. A number of fans have sent him erotic tweets, and so they actually got the voice actor to read some of them in a recent video. But yeah, this is just like, apparently people are really hot for the Wolfman. I don't know. Blad is so thick and hot. What's the point of Elden Ring if I can't ever have my tarnished kiss bled with tongue? Wow. I don't even know what to say. I mean, this is just... Wow. Something on the internet for everybody, I guess.
Hey Jim, have you ever thought about, you know, going back to school, getting a further education, maybe like being a witcher? You know, would you ever want to go to school to become a witcher?
No.
No?
No.
Well, seeing as the survival rate was 1 in 3, right?
I mean, that's good that you didn't want to do that, because the school, did you know that CD Projekt Red had plans for a real life witcher school?
Really?
Yeah, they pulled the plug on it, though.
Be like Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Well, a real-life Witcher school in Poland has had its license pulled by CD Projekt Red, a move that the organization's co-founders claim is related to a former staff member's employment by the ultra-conservative organization Ordo Luris, or whatever it is. Just weird stuff. So I guess there was a third party that was trying to do this, and CD Projekt Red stepped in and said, nah, don't do that. So, funny and strange for sure.
This next one, wow. There is a company who showed off some DDR5 RAM recently that has teeny tiny RGB fans on it for active cooling. So as if you didn't have enough RGB in your computer, now your RAM fans can be RGB enabled as well.
Well, can't you get like RAM that's RGB already, like without the fans? Yes,
but not fans. Come on, you gotta have fans if you're gonna be cool, like the other kids.
Only fans. Okay.
Somebody built the Hard Space Shipbreaker ships in Lego form, and you can,
yeah, of course,
check them out, make them. But of course, you can take them apart, because that's the point of Shipbreakers, take things apart. So good on them.
Yeah, but
I guess.
Shipbreaker, does he have that spudging tool that you need to get them apart?
Yeah, that little orange tool.
Yeah, the little orange thing. No, I don't think he does. Maybe they'll add that in an update. Let's see. So we've heard about robot dogs in real life, and they're being used in a variety of warfare situations with soldiers being able to use them as scouts. They wander around, they report back information, and now they're air mobile because they have little helicopters that will carry them around to different areas in tough terrain. So, you know, it's only a matter of time until the army of robot dogs comes for us all.
Funny.
Jim, you're a smart guy. You like, you know, to debate and discuss things on the internet. Would you say that, you know, it's important for a online game that is focused on military simulation to have accurate information?
No. You probably also shouldn't, like, leak classified documents in their forum.
Well, this is the fifth time that this has happened, where somebody has gotten upset about the War Thunder implementation of a particular weapons system and leaked what is classified information about those systems on the forum to win the argument as to why there's a problem. Okay. In this case,
if it happens once, it's like a learning experience. If it happens twice, it's an idiot. By the fifth time, I'm saying conspiracy.
Well, it's funny because they're not all, it's not all the same. So there's been a couple times where the British Challenger 2 tank has had leaks. There's been the French Leclerc main battle tank that also had leaks about it. And now this time it's about a new Chinese shell, a non-explosive 125 millimeter Sabot round that's fired by the Type 96 and Type 99 main battle tanks that the Chinese army uses.
Well, if you want to leak the Chinese stuff, I don't care. That's
cool. Well, somebody cares, I'm sure. But to leak it in order to win an argument about a game's implementation just boggles my mind. Hey, table for two?
Yes.
Hey, you want to buy a $4 Switch? I got a Switch for $4.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
It'll be a light Switch.
Well, if you're in South Africa, you'd know that that's a scam. Because clearly, you need to be told that a $4 Nintendo Switch, when it's normally, you know, $250, probably not legitimate.
Is it a light plate with Mario on the faceplate of it? Because then it would be a Nintendo Switch.
There you go.
You know what this reminds me of? Is there's the Viva La Dirt League guys from New Zealand who do a bunch of different series, short series that they have. One of them's called Board, where it's like a tech store. And there was one episode where it was like all keyboards are 80% off. And so this guy got really excited and he goes in to buy one. He's like, I can't believe I got this last one. And he's like, yeah, well, the sale's almost over. You got 5 minutes to buy it. And he's like struggling to get like his credit card read and whatnot. But like at the last second, it finally goes through and he's able to buy it. And he's like, oh, thank God, I finally got this keyboard. I can't believe it. And he's like, oh, yeah, one more thing before I give this to you. I got to give you your 20%. And so he takes the keyboard out of the box and cuts like 80% of it off and hands him just the number pad and says, here's your 20%. And he's like, what are you doing? He said, it's 80% off keyboards. It doesn't say 80% off the price. It's 80%
off keyboards. Oh, my God.
So when I see that, well, people
actually,
have to be...
that would be a 40% because
the
60% keyboards have the arrow keys, but not the numpad.
Well, either way, the joke is, you know, people have
to
be warned.
Technically accurate or it's not funny.
Well, it's just funny that people have to be warned that there's a $4 Nintendo Switch are scams. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah, anyway. That was the part that made me laugh. So there's been a recent release of a new Pac-Man collection called Pac-Man Museum Plus. And some fans are a little bit upset about a change that was made. Several changes that were made. Pac-Man Museum Plus introduces Pac-Mom instead of Miss Pac-Man, but all of the other members of Pac-Man's family have had their names changed as well. So Pac-Junior is now Pac-Boy, Pac-Baby is now Pac-Sis, and Chomp-Chomp is now Pac-Buddy, the dog, by the way. If you didn't know that the Pac-Man had a dog, he has a dog. Interestingly, Professor Pac remains unchanged. So I guess they felt that that was okay. But like, what? I don't even know what to say. Did someone kidnap Pac-Man's family? Like, what's happening? It actually goes back to a legal dispute over some of these names that go back quite a ways in Pac-Man's history. So the Pac-Land game where some of these characters were featured, there's a lawsuit ongoing about some rights to it. So I guess that's the reason for this, but it's still a little bizarre. And the fact that Pac-Man has a dog makes me laugh.
Yeah, that's a little goofy.
Well, is that it for the news?
That is everything.
Is his dog's name Dot?
No, it's Chomp Chomp or Pack Buddy. Now, apparently. Damn. Yep.
Well, that'll do it then for this episode of the news on the Otherworlds GG community cast. Be sure to check out our Discord at discord.otherworlds.gg for all of this and more, and our community nights and hangouts and whatnots that we're doing over here. We will see you guys next time. This has been episode number 64.
Yeehaw.